when someone signs up for coaching, you need to have such trust. It's such an intimate relationship to be able to talk to someone about your fears, your limiting doubts, things that we don't normally talk about, worries that we have, dreams that we want someone's help with, that it's so important that we treat every single person in front of us like they are the most important person in the world. Because in that moment, they are. They are there and they're trusting you. So take away all the distractions, come fully prepared, be so energetically clean and present. And when we are able to do that, when we see and hear the other human in front of us, that's what matters. That's where all the gold is.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the book that will empower you, encourage you, and through its expression, help you to advance to your next level. Stay the Course, The Elite Performers, 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success by this guy right here you're hearing. And the good news is you can now hear the book on audiobook. So head over to Amazon.com or Audible.com or Apple Music, pick up the audiobook. And that's today's sponsor. Go out and buy a copy or a few of Stay the Course, The Elite Performers, 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success, and advance north to your next level of greatness. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends, courtesy of the wonderful podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. They're cool, the freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers, my friends. That's right, D, because we got one heck of a powerhouse lady in the building, baby. That's right, because she's a fellow bookcaster, y'all, because she's not only joined the business of immortality by publishing a wonderful book, she's also a fellow podcast host and killing it indeed with a bunch of wonderful episodes out to the wonderful planet. And on top of that, she's a magical mom, a wonderful wife, a speaker, a certified well-being coach with a gang of more certifications, as well as a wonderful yogi, a somatic breathwork facilitator, and the CEO and founder, y'all, of the wonderful Ardelian Kuzma Group. So let's give it up for the fabulous, the amazing, or should I say the double amazing, the one, the only, Annetta Ardelian Kuzma. How are you doing today, Annetta?
Oh my God, Dom. I've never had that kind of introduction, so I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, shoot. Happy to have you here too. It's right, dude. Here's one of the better parts of the show, the intro, before the rabbit hole show up. That's right, indeed. The bunny ears just lie in wait. It's like you think you're seeing green carrots, like hair out the ground. Like, nah, it's just green bunny ears. That's right. They're green with energy, not envy. but hey, it ain't about rabbits. It's about you. And no matter how good intros are, they're not allowed to share the whole story. So mine, feeling as in high, became the fabulous lady that you are today.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I think that I've always wanted to be a writer. Like, that's just one of the things that I always knew I had in me. But I took a very traditional route in my life. I went through a very corporate route for 25 years and then raised a family, as you said, you know, really did all the things that were really important to me. And then in my mid-40s, I just said, you know, I think it's time to really say, what am I here on this planet to do? What is the purpose? What is the thing that lights me up? So decided to rewrite a new chapter in life and started my business over 6 years ago and really wanted to focus in on coaching people, helping them create the lives that they love, helping them identify with their purposes, creating lives of purpose, passion, and peace. I wanted to write books because I always felt like I had some stories within me. And I just love people. So just have a wonderful opportunity to be able to teach, to facilitate, to work with amazing humans and see them on their own journey.
Me like you, dude. Me like you, dude. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. So is journaling something that you love to do all your whole life?
Oh my goodness, how I've always journaled. Ever since I was little, like always was reading and journaling. And I was an only child until I was 8. And my parents worked a lot. So I think writing and journaling was just a way that I had these internal conversations always. And it really was something that I just loved doing. And I still do every day. I mean, almost every day. Like it's a rare day where I'm not either writing, typing, or journaling what's going on in my head.
Ah, there you go. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. A good old low-cost form of self-therapy, if you will, among other things.
Yeah, I think so. I think it really helps you identify what your inner thoughts are, and we have so many of them. And then for me, it's just an opportunity to be able to kind of work through them. And sometimes it just feels good to get them out, and sometimes there's an opportunity, as you said, to do the self-therapy as well.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So my goodness, I'm pretty sure you learned a whole bunch about yourself over the years through all the journaling. So has there been a big stick-out lesson you learned from all of it?
I think just that I'm not alone. You and I talked a little bit before we hit record, like my faith is such a something that's so important to me. And I think in all of the journaling, oftentimes it was a really great way for me to connect to God and connect to my faith in big ways. And even going back and seeing the things that I struggle with, I then am able to see how supported I've been along the way. And so it's just a reminder and a deepening of my own faith, I think, through the process as well.
Me lucky indeed. So how'd you become a Christian?
Oh, well, I think I was raised in the faith. And I had really strong examples in my grandparents and great-grandparents. And my grandmother especially always had a Bible in hand, and she was reading all the time. And I remember at the youngest of ages, she would read scripture to me and then ask me what I thought it meant. And it was like this invitation to connect to the Holy Spirit at a very young age and to not feel like I needed an intercessor, I needed a priest or a pastor or someone to necessarily interpret. And I think that was a gift, because I think that even as adults, some people don't feel like they have, that the word is accessible in a really personal way. And then when I was 16, I remember going through some struggles and having a conversation with a friend of mine who was a Christian. And we just prayed together. And I felt like that day, my heart just was cracked wide open. And I remember reading the Bible from start to finish in high school and just couldn't put it down. And it just felt like so much was revealed. There was just so much truth there. And then I've just felt so carried and connected and supported by God every day since then.
Beautiful indeed. Beautiful indeed. Sorry, dude. It's always great to have that exposure, but it's even greater when it's like, all right, it's for real for me now. Like, I'm not trying to ride the coattails here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it was such a gift.
There you go. It's right indeed. Didn't even have to worry about it being wrapped up in barbed wire either.
No.
Oh, man, oh, man. So my goodness, here you got a book coming out where it's a lot of based on scripture. So my goodness, mind sharing folks a bit more about it and what to expect from it?
Yeah, it's so interesting. So I wrote my first book, Live the Width of Your Life. It came out in December of 2022. And then a year later, I actually, at the end of the year, heard very distinctly in a meditation from God that it was time to start writing a second book and that he wanted me to write a book about my favorite scripture verses and how I've used them in my life during different struggles and challenges, and really to provide sort of a modern invitation, including journal prompts and other things that I normally include in my books, to a modern audience. And so I've been writing it on and off and really struggled, to be quite honest, Dom. Like the invitation to do this was, I said no, I didn't want to do it. I was like, pick someone else. And then I was a little terrified, I think, of the assignment and terrified that I wasn't the right person. And then I just kept writing and writing. And then Holy Week leading up to Easter just felt really convicted to say, just write this book. Like, if you weren't scared, how would you write it? Like, what would be the most honest way to do it? So I'm kind of re-editing and looking at it again with fresh eyes and really excited to get other people an opportunity to look at it. And before we publish it, the hope is to get it out this year.
Sweet. Sweet indeed. And besides, shouldn't be nothing too much to worry about. They usually say fear is that compass. It's like a sign of, hey, that's the cave where you got to go. It's like, oh, I'm scared to write this book and release it. All right, that means you're supposed to write it and release it.
I know. Isn't that always the truth? It's one of those things where I tried to not do it, and it was quite clear that there was no way out of it, right? And then you look back in scripture, and you're like, okay, Moses said no, you know, Joshua said, you know, everyone had challenges. Jeremiah, everyone was worried and had challenges and said, you know, are you sure it's me? Are you sure I can handle this? And so there I go.
There you go. So you don't want to have a modern day Jonah experience. Just driving and you see a giant whale appear out of nowhere. Be like, hey, I thought this illustration was dead in the Old Testament.
I know. I don't want to get thrown overboard.
The whale just eats your hand in the car too. Like, yeah. Yeah. So you're going to write that book now, aren't you?
Well, and he ended up in Nineveh anyway. It's like you go through all these struggles and in the end, you just sort of like, okay, finally you choose to obey. And then that was the easiest part. Like he didn't even have to do anything. He just had to show up.
Yes, indeed, it's true. Yeah, heck, even goes for life, right? First rule of success is showing up, right?
Exactly.
Oh, you love to see it, indeed. So my goodness, so this book is in the works too. I'm assuming maybe audio version for this one too, coming out when you eventually get to publish it.
I would love to do an audio version. I think, and even some of the exercises in the book, I think could be audio, but yeah, I'd love to do an audio version of this. So I'm, in the middle of editing, so it's hard to think too far past, but I think that that's definitely something that that should be a part of it.
Yeah, it should be. You got the voice for it. Like, oh, it's it. Dude, like, reach more people. Get in their brains and their ears.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no sweat indeed. No sweat indeed. So my goodness. So I got this book coming out and you're able to get past the wonderful self-dares and get the first book out indeed. So is there like a big goal of how many books you want to get out over the next 10, 15 years or so?
You know, it's hard. It's like, I would love to write a book a year. Like I just always thought, you know, once you do one and you just think, oh, why not? But I think it's just a matter of how many God really wants me to write and what those are. And I have other things I'd like to do, but sometimes we're called to do something different. So you never know if I'm called to shift directions or not, but I'd love to continue to write as many as I'm supposed to.
Me like indeed. So my goodness, so do you have any writing rituals to get yourself in the zone to put some content out into the world or heck even just for the journaling itself?
Yeah, you know, I read The Artist, well, I've always journaled as you and I talked about, but then I read The Artist's Way back in 2019 the first time, and I just re-picked it up. And in the front of the book by Julia Cameron, you're supposed to sign like, okay, I'm committing to doing this for the next 12 weeks. And I looked and it was 2019, which was a year that I started my business, is when I started The Artist's Way and some of the other exercises, the morning pages. And that has just been the most beautiful practice. And for me, I don't write longhand. I type things out. And so much of it has been just like in a Google sheet. And so much of that has turned into my first and second book. It's quite incredible. And so that's a really nice ritual, being able to do that every morning as much as possible. And even just a few lines, if I can't spend, you know, half an hour or however long. But when I'm writing a book, what I did with my first book is I just committed to writing at least an hour every single day, 7 days a week. And I was like, that's my time. And I have my favorite tea on hand. I have water ready so I don't have to get up. I light a candle. So really treat it like a sacred ritual. And I like to do it first thing in the morning while it's still dark out. I get up super early. I feel like that is when I can connect and just tune the rest of the world out. And it's when my energy is strongest and I feel like I'm most connected to God. So that's when I usually like to write. And my tip for everybody is just write. Just decide you're going to do it. Commit to it. It doesn't have to be inspired because you might not be when you first start, but there's going to be some goodness that comes out of it just from the sheer practice and commitment.
The sheer practice and commitment indeed. So it sounds like somebody's a morning person.
Oh my gosh. I wake up at 4:30. It's my morning time and I have a couple hours of what I love to do first thing in the morning. And it's just, I've always been a morning person, so it works for me, but it's just awesome. And then I feel like I've done so much already before the workday starts.
Ah, sweet. So do you have a night routine that keeps you ready for early mornings?
Yeah, unwind. I definitely put the phone away, close the laptop, dim the lights, take the magnesium, make some tea, unwind, you know, chill out with my husband and just relax. I think that I always say follow nature. What does nature do? The sun goes down, start to dim the lights. The temperature gets cooler outside, turn down your thermostat, get comfortable, right? You know, all the things. It's really just, if I give myself enough time to wind down, I get a good night's sleep. It's when I don't give myself time to wind down that then my sleep is a little restless.
I guess that's when the claws come out and then the random lion's head appears. It's like, oh, straight D, give her some space. She get the sleep, run. Run fast.
Not that bad.
Oh, okay. So it's just the claws and not the lion's head. Okay.
There you go.
But you said something there that I freaking like. Follow nature, because it's so true. It's like, yeah, it's one of the, I guess, the gifts and the curses of the modern age. It's like, hey, we got all these lights, electricity, and all these distractions out there to stay up all night and burn the midnight oil. It's yeah. Like, nature. It's like, oh, no, just cool down. Like, bring yeah. it down a bit. Like, go ahead and follow nature. Nighttime. That's right, D. Give yourself a break. Chill out. Like, don't try yeah. to do everything all night.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so true. I think we don't know how to rest anymore. And we have so many devices and things to keep us highly sensitized. And our bodies know what to do. We just choose to distract and do things that we didn't do. And I'm old enough to remember, you know, pre-cell phones, pre-computer, pre-email, all those things. And so these are all just new habits that we've all developed, right, over the last several decades.
Yeah, that's so true, indeed. So true, indeed. That's right, indeed. Yeah, kind of makes me miss early 2000s internet, where it wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah, it takes self-discipline now to choose that simpler way of being.
Oh yeah, that's right indeed, where things aren't so ready to really study your behaviors, be like, hey, cookie time, let's show them some ads. That's right indeed, be like, oh, I heard them talking about something. All right, here's an ad for it 5 hours later. That's right indeed. It's totally coincidence. Don't worry about it. So my goodness, I sent you been on so many interviews of both sides of the game. Is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone?
Oh, that's such a great question. That one, I guess. I think you asked a lot of questions. Like, I don't always talk about my faith. I think that that's something that we don't always feel comfortable talking about, is like, who is the person behind the facade? One of the things I love to ask people is, tell me something about yourself I wouldn't find on your LinkedIn profile or online. And that's where people really talk about, you know, who are you outside of what you do? And I think that's a pretty powerful question.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. He's talking about indeed. Well, hey, since you're a decorated coach, has there been a client experience that helped you to up your game as a coach?
Gosh, there's been so many lessons learned. I think that the lesson that I've shared with other coaches as well is that when someone signs up for coaching, you need to have such trust. It's such an intimate relationship to be able to talk to someone about your fears, your limiting doubts, things that we don't normally talk about, worries that we have, dreams that we want someone's help with, that it's so important that we treat every single person in front of us like they are the most important person in the world. Because in that moment, they are. They are there and they're trusting you. So take away all the distractions, come fully prepared, be so energetically clean and present. And when we are able to do that, when we see and hear the other human in front of us, that's what matters. That's where all the gold is. And so there's so many things you can do and techniques and all this other stuff. But in the end of the day, I think as humans, we are just looking for that connection and that presence.
That connection and presence, indeed. Yeah, you're so right, because that's like really taking on a coaching client, especially when they agree and everything like that, to go through that process. It's definitely a powerful experience and a huge like level of trust, especially if it's their first time having a coach too, because they're like, man, they're hoping that you can help guide them in the right direction, because hey, just helping them find the answers that they already have within themselves and help them to have that growth that they desire, heck, maybe start their business that they want and all that good stuff.
Oh, it's so true, Dom. And I love that you said that the answers are within. It's just helping people ask the right questions, helping them unearth it, helping them to believe that what they're hearing is valid and that they, you know, can start taking little action in that direction. They don't have to have the whole thing figured out in order to move forward. Most of the time, we have the answers. It's just that we're so scared because we can't figure out how to do it. We haven't seen it. We haven't done it for ourselves. We just need evidence of that next right step. And when you do, celebrate it and take the next one.
Yeah, you're so right, dude. So right, dude. Because sometimes folks be having so much metaphorical mud on and they're like, I'm a mud monster. Time to sludge through the earth. I have no idea where the next step is. Like, hey, ooh, it's a kitty. All right, pet the kitty. Oh, no, the kitty's got mud too. No. Oh, man. Well, since your fellow podcast host, indeed, always like to ask all the hosts their top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running their show. And you got over, 180 episodes, right?
Yeah. I launched in August of 2020. It'll be 2 years in August. Yeah, 23. So it's so many lessons learned. I would say if anyone wants to start a podcast, I gave myself 1 month to figure it out. And I'm so glad I did, because if I waited until everything was perfect, if I had the perfect mic, if I had all the things, I never would have started, or it would have started so much later. And I said, just start now. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is just be present, be prepared. Like I said, don't rush in. Make sure that you are grounded, that you're connected with the other human, that you're having a wonderful conversation before you hit record, so that, you know, you've built a little bit of trust and you set your intentions. I think that's really important. A lot of times I do some deep breathing with folks just to get them, you know, in a really good place and for us to connect. And then at the end, just, you know, everyone's got a story, and just giving them a space to honor their story and to share what's most important, to make sure that they're able to cover what they are doing and bringing into the world, and keeping it as real as possible, like you, right? Just a nice conversation where when people are listening, it doesn't feel like someone is scripted an entire conversation, because you can tell when that's happening and it doesn't sound right. Nobody wants to listen to that. So those are some of the things. And then over time, just do better. You learn more, you do better. You change things. And sometimes it's a better mic. Sometimes it's improving our own ability to ask questions, to be present, to listen to the recordings and notice little annoying habits that we have, and we can some you can edit out and some you just need to adjust. Those are some of the lessons. And one of the things I did that was really helpful for me was, before I did my first recording, is I went back to the podcast that I was listening to, and I went to their very first episodes they've ever recorded. And that's where you can see that, you know, Lewis Howes said he was recording on speaker with his phone on the desk, and you could tell he was like hovering over it. Kathy Heller, at the time I was listening to, said she had three little kids at home and she would lock herself in her closet and try to do it there because it was the only quiet place in her home. And so you see where people started and you see where they've progressed to. And that was so encouraging because you don't want their first episode to be perfect, right? You want to see the progress over time. You want people to show that you can start a little messy, still professional, but maybe not, you know, exactly perfect. So those are some of the lessons learned. And I'm so glad I did because I wouldn't have traded any of the conversations I've had over the last 2 years.
Me like indeed. Yes, indeed, because the growth is amazing, especially when you look back over it. It's like, man, because do you ever look back on your first episode and be like, man, I'm so glad I've improved over the years?
Yeah, of course. And everything, like every aspect of it, like my cover art changed, the way I ask questions, the ability to pause, I talk quickly, and that's still something that I need to work on because I get so excited. And so, you know, making sure that you give people space and to respond, and you don't have to fill every single moment. So there's definitely things that now people are going to go and listen for all those things, but you know, those are all the lessons learned, and it's such a gift to be able to go back and say, you know, I still showed up and imperfectly, and that's okay. Because here we are, like you said, almost 200 episodes later.
Heck yeah. But yeah, the folks should go back and listen to your first episode, though, especially the trailer. They get to learn more about the amazing Annette herself. It's like, yo, like, Christ, so immigrated here with her parents when she was a kiddo. Like, good times. All right. Learn a little bit more about the lady behind the microphone. All right.
Yeah. That's right,
indeed. And besides, you had a good quality mic at the beginning, so it's like you didn't have to worry about a vast chasm of growth.
Yeah. I did get this Shure mic probably a year in, and it's made a huge difference, I think. So, but you don't have to start with that. I think, you know, you can start with something else that's not that expensive. It's not about the equipment.
Oh, it's not at all. Yeah, exactly. It's like, shoot, we ain't running like a big giant radio station or like a freaking news station here. It's like, hey,
yeah,
we're just recording.
Exactly.
Exactly. So indeed, save that time and funds for other things. Indeed. So you mentioned earlier a bit where sometimes occasionally you take your folks through a breathing exercise. Indeed. And that reminds me of your wonderful somatic breath work. And it sounds like you got a wonderful bad girl utility belt of activities to keep yourself grounded. So how does breath work play into your high level of performance?
Breath work is amazing. I just facilitated a session last night as part of a book club for my book. And it was the first time for several women. And it's always amazing just to see, and not surprising, what an impact it makes. It really is a great way to regulate our nervous system. We are running around in stressful states, fight or flight, you know, all day long for some people, like no breaks in between. And breath work is one of those ways that we can just really reconnect, connect to our bodies, come out of our thinking mind, drop into the body, and through the controlled breathing, you can start to slow things down. You can send signals to your vagus nerve and your brain that it's safe and that it's okay for your heart rate to slow down and for the breath to slow down. And then suddenly you just find yourself in a much calmer state. I do breathing every morning. It's something my husband and I love to do first thing in the morning together. And I facilitate a free breath work class at noon Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays, which happens to be today, the day of the recording, and anyone is invited and is welcome to come. It's free, and I just want to give it as a gift so people can experience it, and then you can practice it on your own. The amazing thing about our respiratory system is that it's the only automatic and controlled system of the body, so you can't necessarily tell some of your other organs to do what you want them to do, but you can slow the breath down, which then does send signals to the rest of the body to slow things down as well, so it's quite amazing.
Amazing indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah, you can tell the difference where it's like, all right, cool. You set aside the time to make some good deep breaths. It's like, yay. And then that meditation. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Everything feels a lot lighter.
Sure does.
Right, indeed. It's like, hey, maybe I can transform into a feather now. It feels so light.
Yeah. That'd be something.
That's right, indeed. But nah, I'd rather be the whole bird metaphorically. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, and I guess we'll go with the current one that's out and about for folks to read and add to their wonderful bookshelves, is the wonderful Live the Width of Your Life, 365 Daily Meditations on Living with Purpose, Passion, and Peace. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
A food. Maybe like a green juice or a green tea, herbal tea. I only say that because it's something that I wrote, picturing people just taking their time with it, savoring it. You know, it's one meditation to focus on a day. It's going to make you healthier. It's going to make you feel good. It should feel like a cozy blanket coming back to it and reading it. So something healthy like that, maybe more of a beverage than a food, if that's helpful. And yeah, my intention when I wrote it was just that it would be on people's coffee table or their nightstand, and it would be the first thing they reach for in the morning or what they choose to do at night. It's just a way to start and end a day with some inspiration, with some positivity, with a journal prompt or a challenge that gives you a small lesson every single day. And you don't have to focus on overhauling your entire life, but if you just do one little thing in the book every single day over the course of the year, it should be a pretty transformative year.
A transformative year indeed. That's right indeed. So it sounds like this book is terrific.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right indeed. You'll be green with energy. That's right indeed. So that means if you got a nightstand and you stand the book up on it, that means the book will also be a nightstand. So it's a standing at night. That's right.
You're cracking yourself up today, Dom.
Oh, that's my default every day because I'm freaking hilarious. So indeed, one of the greatest exports of this podcast, next to inspiration, corny jokes. You love to see it. Right, dude. Right, dude. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, I would say slow down, enjoy the ride, be intentional. Treasure the people in your life. Connect to God daily. Allow yourself to dream big dreams. Trust that it's all unfolding at the right time. You're enough. You know, all the lessons that we learn with time and with more wisdom and age.
There you go. Wisdom and age. That's right, D. That's right. Indeed. The good stuff, y'all. That's right, indeed. You don't have to be like Sonic the Hedgehog all the time. You don't have to be speeding and Alice all the time, y'all. That's right, indeed. Sometimes you gotta move with intention, y'all. That's right, indeed. Sorry, slow down, indeed. That's right, indeed. Take it all in. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And speaking of taking it all in, folks need to take in your content and keep up with your journey and buy some copies of your magical book. So for those folks who need to do those wonderful things, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Yeah, I would say if they're interested, they can follow me. They can come to my website. I have all my links there available. So AnnettaKuzma.com. And they then can follow me on Instagram and LinkedIn is where I'm pretty active. I have a YouTube channel. My book's available on Amazon, and podcast is available all places where podcasts are available.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. Gonna put a link, so should I say links to all of Annetta's goodies in the show notes, that way you can keep up with the journey, y'all. So indeed, be sure to subscribe to her podcast, her YouTube channel, buy some copies of her magical books, indeed. It's all good stuff indeed. That's right indeed. Feels like something new daily goes on your YouTube page, if I'm not mistaken. At least it feels like it.
A lot of the podcast reels, we update there, but hope to start creating some more organic content to place there as well.
Oh, okay. So another going live, huh?
Yeah. It's, all the things we want to do, but there's only one of me. So I have to continue to prioritize what makes the most sense.
I feel you on that.
For sure, right?
It's like cloning technology ain't available yet, especially to regular humans. So it's like, yep. Gotta make do like a Mountain Dew, hairdo, and honeydew all at the same time. Well, before the Coca-Cola gets jealous about do, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, just so grateful to have a chance to meet you and to be able to share my story with your audience. So I hope you have an amazing day, Dom.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.